Patricia Petit-Liang, the host of Fatal Attraction. I was just taking a nice, hot bath and listening to CJLO 1690 AM. Listening to CJLO is my favorite thing to do after a long, hard day of work.
I'm Katie Brady, and you're listening to CJLO. Common Front union leaders are presenting a tentative deal with Quebec to its 420,000 public sector workers this week. This comes after 11 combined days of strikes late last year. The deal includes an inflation clause and addresses vacation, parental leave, and other benefits. Magali Picard, president of the FTQ, told reporters Sunday that support from the public and from workers was instrumental in negotiations.
To be able to do that is because they had the members, they had the workers with them and the population. So let me tell you that it's major, major what they achieve with this negotiation.
Details of the tentative agreements will be presented to union delegates during meetings over the coming weeks. Delegates will then decide if the deal will become an agreement. Eric Gingras, president of the CSQ, says there's other issues facing public sector working conditions to tackle in the near future.
There's salaries, there's working conditions, and there's the systems too. There's decisions that are been taken by the government. PL 15 that we talked about, PL 23, in education, that we're going to have to talk about that.
Meanwhile, the FAE union ended their unlimited general strike, sending students across the province back to school this week. It's yet to be seen if the FIQ, the province's nursing union, will also reach a deal with the province. It said it will be announcing no further actions to focus on negotiations until January 15th. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Tommy John Show is back. It is a cold, very cold actually, Monday, January the 15th, and my God, what a show we're going to have for you guys today. If you're new to the program, I'm Tommy Lane, and this is the Tommy John Show, where we discuss everything going on and that has happened recently in the world of sports. My God, what, first of all, Happy New Year to the listeners, our first show since mid-December, so Happy New Year to everyone. Hope everyone had tremendous holidays, but you know what? If you're new to the show, I'll just re-explain it again. We usually do news in the world of sports, and then I make a few points, and then we talk about a certain topic. Today, I'm debating whether to even do that format. I'm going to, but there's so many great stories, and we only have an hour to get into, but we will quickly go through the news in the world of sports briefly. So, First round of the NFL playoffs happened this weekend, the wild card weekend, super wild card weekend. And we had incredible games all over the place. On Saturday afternoon, we had the Houston Texans, led by rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, 2.5 point underdogs at home, and they annihilate the Cleveland Browns. C.J. Stroud looked unbelievable. DeMeco Ryans locked up coach of the year, and a team that needed to win a game on the road against a division opponent just to make the playoffs are now into the divisional round. Incredible. They annihilate the Cleveland Browns 45-14. That was the first wild card game. Then we had Saturday night on the frozen tundra in Kansas City. It was what, minus 30 something with the wind chill? One of the coldest games in NFL history. And it was the Kansas City Chiefs taking down the Miami Dolphins in, don't want to say a boring game, but it wasn't a boring game. It was the least, it felt like a game that was never close. The Browns game, you know, they hung around, they were up 14-10. They always felt with a little bit in it until the third quarter broke. For some reason, even when the Dolphins were down 10-7, it felt like they were out of it. I don't know what it was. Hard to describe, just that what they melted down the stretch. They were an easy pick halfway through the year to represent the AFC just based on what they did. They put 70 on Denver. They annihilated the Jets. When they played the bad teams, they looked like the 85 Bears. And then when they played a winning team, they would just wilt and melt. And they didn't melt on Saturday. They froze. 26-7, the Chiefs. They're moving on to the divisional round where they'll take on the winner of the game that kicks off in about 2 and a bit hours, the Bills and the Steelers. If the Steelers win, they play Baltimore. If the Bills win, they will play and host the Chiefs, and that would send Houston to Baltimore. So that's the AFC. In the NFC, we had two fantastic football games yesterday on paper. We had the rookie starter, you know, it's his third year, he's pretty much a rookie, Jordan Love taking on the Dallas Cowboys, which was going to be awesome. And then you had Matt Stafford coming back to Detroit. Both games on paper looked incredible. One of them turned out incredible. Well, two if you were a Packers fan. We are going to spend a lot of time about this Packers Cowboys game, but it was the Green Bay Packers dismantling the Dallas Cowboys. And I can't believe I'm saying that. Well, I can't believe it. 48-32, and it wasn't that close. There's a lot of empty calories at the end of the game for Dak and the Cowboys. 48-32. At one point, I think it was 48-16. That was a real resemblance of the score. 48-32, nah, it wasn't a two-score football game. Wasn't. They got annihilated. And it was embarrassing. We'll talk about that throughout the show. Then the Sunday night game was fantastic. Jared Goff and the Lions taking down the Los Angeles Rams in a fantastic football game. 24-23. And the Lions have their first playoff win in 30 years. That's insane. And I'm seeing a bunch of memes around too where they're like, oh, the Lions won a playoff game before the Cowboys could reach a championship game. Last time the Cowboys were in the NFC Championship was 1996. So that's what, 28 years? First win for the Lions in a playoff since 94. That's insane. And then also we have the last NFC wildcard game tonight. We have two games today, like I mentioned. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Then tonight, Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. The Australian Open started this week. Novak Djokovic, you know, he took 4 hours, but he got through to the second round. Carlos Alcaraz plays, I guess, tonight, tomorrow morning at like 2 a.m. He will play. That's the final we all want. Sinner into the second round. Felix Auger-Aliassime, the Canadian, in 5 sets moves on. A great match against Dominic Thiem. So a lot of interesting matchups. We will talk to Australian Open a bit this hour. Also, we got to talk about what's going on in the National Hockey League. My goodness. I know we love to go after the Maple Leafs in Montreal, but recently, just shocking performances. They lose to the Islanders on Thursday in overtime, had a 3-0 lead on Colorado Saturday night, lose 5-3, and then yesterday against a struggling Red Wings team, 4-2 they lose. And from a team that was coasting, they're still going to make the playoffs. I'm not saying that. They've lost three in a row. And for a team that was looking to jump into the Florida-Boston mix in the Atlantic, they're now on 50 points with Boston and Florida up at 59 and 56 points. So that was a big week by the Leafs, and they were moving in the wrong direction. Big win for Detroit, though. They're only 1 point back after struggling a little bit recently. I know there's, since Patrick Kane showed up, apart from this last three or four games, they've been really struggling. And for them to only be 1 point back of the Leafs for that third Atlantic spot, interesting. Very, very interesting. The Canadiens fell over the weekend to the Edmonton Oilers 2-1 in a shootout. Still, Samuel Montembeau has been incredible for Montreal. He had 39 saves on 41 shots in the OT loss. They have Colorado in town tonight, and going on right now, the Bruins leading the New Jersey Devils 1-0. Charlie Coyle scored from Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak. So, we have an added break in 4 minutes, so I won't fully get into it. So, we're going to be Cowboys Packers crazy today. I'm just warning everyone after whatever the hell that was. So I'll talk a bit about my big takeaways initially from Wildcard Weekend. That was, apart from the Cowboys game, a lot of good football played. I don't even know if I'll count the Miami game. It was so cold. I don't know how people were even thinking in that weather. It was, I can't even imagine. Even we like to joke about Americans complaining about weather up here. Oh, yeah, it's not that cold. That was cold. I don't care what anyone says. That was cold. They know no one. I don't care if you live, in the tundra. That's still cold, whatever they played in. And I know a lot of people said, hey, Miami, you never know. The Chiefs haven't looked that good. When I saw the forecast, I'm like, there's no way in hell the Dolphins are winning this football game. No way in hell. And Tua, I know, we'll get into that later if Tua's the guy in Miami. But he played at Alabama, grew up in Hawaii, plays for the Dolphins. I don't even know in my life, has he played a cold game? Because he's been hurt 2 years in a row, too. I don't know if he's played a cold game. That might have been the first game with, snow. Maybe the first time he's ever seen snow. I have no idea. If you play in the SEC and you live in Hawaii and you play for the Dolphins, you don't see snow that often. Unless you go to Foxborough or Orchard Park in December and January. But you got to think about it. The Dolphins' chance, if Tua's the quarterback, they got to get the one seed or minimum the two seed every year. Because that team has proven now for 2-3 years in a row that they cannot win against good teams on the road. Look at their schedule this year. They had 11 wins. Great. Their only good win, really, on paper, was beating the Cowboys at home on Christmas in Miami. Look who, when they played Buffalo, week three, they got annihilated. They played Buffalo last week of the year. They lost. Played the Chiefs in Germany. They lost. Played the Eagles. They lost. Played Baltimore. Got destroyed. So this is not just me picking on the Dolphins. Far from it. It's me just stating the facts. I like Mike McDaniel. How can you not like Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Achan and Mostert? How can you not like these guys? They're fantastic football players. How can I not like Bradley Chubb or Jalen Ramsey? On paper, they're great. And Tua, from September till November, is a top 10 quarterback in the league. But every time we get to December, or every time they play a team with a pulse, they just fall apart. And that's not a great Chiefs team. I know Mahomes is great. I know Andy Reid's great. Kelce has moments. That Rice kid's pretty good, the rookie from SMU. But if there was ever a chance to beat the Chiefs, this was it for the Dolphins. I'm serious. Because you know the Chiefs in the offseason, they're going to address the wide receiver core. That's their main priority. Maybe add another tailback because I like Edwards-Helaire, but I don't think he'll be on the team next year. And Pacheco's a great back. They're going to get another back with Pacheco, and they're going to invest a ton of money into the wide receiver room. And then the Chiefs will be right up there again. Hell, they could still win the Super Bowl this year. But you know what I'm saying? If this is not as strong as a Chiefs team in years past. If there was a chance, it was this year. I'm sorry. It just was. Now, the Dolphins will be back. They'll be a playoff team next year. But they have to do something. They have to make a call if Tua's their guy. That's what next year's about. Because McDaniel's going to be their coach. Tyreek Hill's not going anywhere. Jalen Waddle's not going anywhere. Achan's not going anywhere. I'm sorry. Like, if you really think about it, from September till first week in November, Tua was the MVP favorite. Now, on January 15th, night of January 13th, we were talking about should the Dolphins extend Tua. That's what it's gone to right now. And I'm not knocking the guy. I mean, it was cold. I understand that. But he did not play well down the stretch. He played really poorly. Very poorly. I don't even know how to... I can't even talk right now how bad he played against the Bills on Sunday Night Football. He played even worse against the Ravens. And then, okay, it was the coldest game ever in Arrowhead. Fine. But there's so much talent on that Dolphins team. And if you're going to lose it if you give Tua $50 million because you can't pay everyone. And we don't know if he's the guy or not. And knowing Mike McDaniel, coming from the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay tree, he can make things work with other quarterbacks, lesser tier quarterbacks. We see it, Shanahan do it with Brock Purdy. So I'm not sold on Tua getting this huge contract that I want. Like, if you ask me in October, I'm like, yeah, Tua's the guy in Miami. You ask me now, I have no idea. None. At first, I was like, oh, maybe it's injuries. Oh, who knows? It's injuries. He's been hurt. Then he plays amazing for a month, 2 months, and you're like, oh, no, Tua's the guy. And then he plays like that the last month of the year, and it's shocking. So I don't know what they're going to do. I know he's not C.J. Stroud. We saw that Saturday. Hell, he's not even Jordan Love. He's not Jared Goff. Of the young quarterbacks, who would you take Tua over? Mahomes, never. Allen, never. Burrow, no. Lawrence, when healthy, no. Herbert, no. Just go down the list. And I was a Tua guy at Alabama. I thought Tua threw a beautiful football. Ran the offense well. I think he's a competent, above-average quarterback. I see him more in, you know, the tier 3-4 quarterbacks. He's not a top 10 quarterback, I don't think, as right now. I don't even quickly. He's not better than Burrow, not better than Mahomes, not better than Allen, not better than Lamar, not better than Herbert, not better than Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, C.J. Stroud. Go through it. Is he better than Dak? You can have that discussion, but Dak's proven more. Is he better than Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl last year. Better than Goff? Stafford? I mean, people hate on Brock Purdy. I know Brock Purdy's in a better situation, and if Tua was in San Francisco, okay, fair. But Brock Purdy's been amazing. It's easy to say, oh, Tua's top 10. But when you really think about it, the way he played when it mattered the most and when it mattered the most, he wasn't up. He was not even below average. He was awful. So he went from MVP candidate to, is he the guy? Is he a top 10 quarterback? It's crazy how things change. That was one of my biggest takeaways. If you were to tell me that the Dolphins defense with a million backups in there, there was no Phillips, no Xavier Howard, no Bradley Chubb. It was the scout team on defense. And for a while, they were holding the Chiefs to field goals. They were bending but not breaking. And it was 10-7, 13-7, 16-7, 19-7. They were hanging in the football game, but they never seemed in it. And it was just because an offense that would score 70 against Denver and that would score, 40 against the Jets and pick a number against the Patriots. People worried about their defense going into that game. Like, their offense is going to score, but the defense stinks. The defense did its job. They really did. All things considered, with all their injuries, they did their job. And if you were to tell me the offense would score 7 points, it's a disgrace. Disgrace. And that's where during that game, I was thinking, is Tua the guy? I don't know anymore. I don't. And I think that's fair to say. We're going to get into a quick ad and then come back and talk about what the hell happened in Dallas last night. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after these words from our sponsors.
Présenté par SiriusXM, le festival déjanté de musique alternative Le Fuck Off est de retour pour sa 10e année consécutive. Du 9 au 17 février, la ville de Québec sera animée par des spectacles et des vitrines de musique émergente de tous genres confondus. Procure-toi ton billet et viens découvrir des artistes éclatés comme Teke Teke, Catashot, Solipsisme, C'est Nicole, Population 2, Totalement Sublime, Virginie B et plus encore. Le Fuck Off, c'est le festival qui réchauffe ton mois de février. Visite le phoqueoff.com pour plus d'informations.
Have you ever wanted to expand your musical palette and give electronic music a taste? If so, you'll love Rigged Sessions, hosted by me, Rigged Jason. As someone who listens to a large variety of electronic music, I believe that there is something for everyone. I play a lot of new music and previous, but both stars and new artists to watch. And almost every week, I play a mix from myself or a guest mix. If you're ready to experience new electronic sounds, tune in to Rigged Sessions, airing on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 1 p.m.
The Tommy John Show. Man, what? I'm not. That may have been a bit harsh on Tua, but I don't think so. I'm still stunned about what I saw. Stunned. My God. So, I thought going in to the show this week, as of preparing this weekend for the show, I'm like, you know what? We're gonna talk a lot about Tua being awful. We're going to talk about, oh my God, Joe Flacco, just whatever the hell that was Saturday. That's what I thought. You know what? Yeah, maybe we'll talk about a great Lions-Rams game. But man, what the hell was that in Dallas yesterday? I need to pause and just think about what first of all, I wait for this day every year. I really do. There's very few days when I come in and do a radio show where I'm just excited to talk about a topic. Because you don't know, right? You're like, oh, what's going to happen? I can't wait to talk about what happens in this football game. Oh, I can't wait in a World Series or something. There's 2 days a year, which happen every year. You don't know which day, but you know what's happening. It's the day the Leafs get eliminated from the playoffs, And it's the day where the Dallas Cowboys get eliminated from the playoffs. I'm sorry. Those are the 2 days where I don't know when it's going to be on the calendar, but I know it's going to happen. And when it happens, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And while, yeah, I thought Dallas was going to beat Green Bay, I kept saying to everyone, you can check, I'm like, they're losing in the next 2 weeks, whether it's to the Packers or it'd be the Lions or the Rams or the Eagles or the Bucks. They're losing before the NFC Championship game. That's a guarantee. So it's, if it's not this week, it's next week. But never in a million years did I think the game would go like that. I was expecting, you know, if the Packers were to beat the Cowboys, you expect a hard-fought, close game, and then something Cowboys would happen, and they would lose. Now, whether it be a fumble in a tied game, and then they go in field goal range, or something like that, or a bad penalty against the Cowboys, you know, that happens. That's what usually happens. But for them to be the 2 seed in the NFC and welcome in the youngest playoff team on average in NFL history, the 7 seed, who barely made the postseason, and to get annihilated. If you were to tell me that before kickoff, I said, you're crazy. That ain't happening. You're nuts. But that is exactly what happened. That was better than anything I could have imagined. That was, it was unbelievable. While watching that game, you see the Packers get the ball, go down the field, score. You're like, oh boy, we might have a football game today. Then you see Dak throw a pick in the red zone. Or maybe they're picking his own zone, I guess. And it's 14-0. Then when I saw the Packers go for it on 4th and whatever, and they score a touchdown, and it's 21-0, it clicked me. It clicked. I'm like, oh my God, the Cowboys are about to get blown out. And to top it off, driving at the end of the first half, Dak throws maybe the worst pick six I've ever seen, and it's 27-0 with 2 minutes left in the half. It was 27-0. And was I enjoying every second of it? Oh, that would be an understatement. I'm not even a Packers fan. Usually, like, but it's just something about, it's something the football community, we all cheer for different teams, but the one thing we all root for is the downfall of the Dallas Cowboys. It's same with the NHL. Everyone, what we all come together on, the one issue, Bruins fans, Habs fans, Rangers fans, everyone comes together to root against the Leafs in the postseason. Everyone comes together to root against the Cowboys. If you are not a Cowboys fan, you do not like the Cowboys. There's no in between. There's no like, oh yeah, like the Lions. Oh yeah, how do you not like the Lions or the Browns? Team like that. Oh yeah, yeah. No one hates every single team except the Cowboys. If you were to poll NFL fans from Kansas City to Seattle to wherever, who's your least favorite team? The one of their two answers is going to be like one of their divisional rivals and the Cowboys. I'm a Patriots fan. Why do I like the Cowboys? Are irrelevant to me. They're in the NFC East. Hardly see them. They never beat up on us. I have no reason to hate the Cowboys except for the fact that they're the Cowboys. And we love to hate on them. And the reason why is because this happens every year. They show up week 1, flex their muscles and their talent, saying, we're so talented, this is a new year. This is a new year. This is the Dallas Cowboys year. And to quote Stephen A., just wait. Something's going to happen. And even this year at times I was worried because CeeDee Lamb had an incredible season. Micah Parsons, one of the best players in the NFL. Dak, who I have had my, you know, own opinions of, was playing great. So a bit inside of me, I was just kind of saying, oh, you know, but it's the Cowboys. They'll probably mess it up. Even when I was watching them be brilliant on the football field. And you know what? Yesterday, well, is just confirmed. I don't care what the Cowboys do in the regular season because it doesn't matter because they are who they are. When it matters the most, when it's one game, season on the line, they choke. And do you think the pressure is going to go down next year? Hell no. It's going to be amplified by a million because they could go 17-0. And everyone's going to be staring at him. Be like, we don't care. Because last year, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, for 28 years, this is who you've been. What a pathetic performance. And I know I like Mike McCarthy. I feel like he gets a bad rap. Everyone wants to fire him every 2 seconds. He's a good football coach. His teams win 12 games a year. But that is a fireball performance and display of coaching. It is. I'm sorry. You have a home playoff game. You're the 2 seed. You win this one, you get another home game. You have 2 home games to get to the NFC Championship. And you come out and play like that? Just so flat, so lackluster. And I could see it too. After one drive, I saw Dak and CeeDee Lamb like look at each other, like fighting. I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. If I'm being honest, yesterday was going into the game like the Cowboys are probably going to win. I think the Packers will keep it close because Jordan Love's been heating up. But that offense is lethal right now for Dallas. What was that? And don't look at the 400 yards Dak threw. He, when it was 48-16, I think he only had like 199 yards. And then he feasted and he's like, oh, I got hot late. Yeah, because they're playing prevent defense. They're up 100 points. They just want you to get first downs and eat up the clock. So I don't want to hear you heat it up late. I want to hear that. That was pathetic. And Mike McCarthy's to blame. And Dan Quinn, who thought, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this playoffs and then head to Seattle for my head coaching job. I don't know if Seattle's going to hire you after that. That was embarrassing. Micah Parsons, our modern day Lawrence Taylor, baloney. He was non-existent. I don't care. I'm done with Micah Parsons from now on for a little bit. I'm done with Dak. I mean, my God. And I'm sorry. They could play that game 100 times. 100 times. They aren't beating them. I know why. Like I've been saying all year, the Cowboys can't stop the run at all. And they can't. How big were those holes yesterday that Aaron Jones was running through? It was insane. It was like the Red Sea. Just parted. Just everything. As soon as he got the ball, it's like wide open space to run. It was insane. And I know Jordan Love, my God, does he look good. But you could have had any quarterback in there yesterday. Nothing to take away from Jordan Love. But the Cowboys were so bad. And you would think, when they're down 27-7 at the half, that Mike McCarthy would go in there and give some kind of a speech and say, guys, we are still in it. We played as bad as we could play, and we get the ball first, and we can make it a 2-score game, and we're right back in it. Of course, they came out flatter than the first half. How is that even possible? Okay, you come out flat and you get punched in the mouth, but regroup. They had no answers. None. And they were talking all that smack. Oh, wait till we see the 49ers again. Wait, imagine if they played San Francisco. Imagine. It might have been 100-0. So I'm done with the Cowboys and the we are done hearing the Cowboys fans until they prove. I can't even fathom what I saw yesterday. I loved every second of it, but I'm still thinking, am I dreaming? Like, this is too perfect. They talked all year how this is a different team. Kellen Moore's not there anymore. Mike McCarthy's calling the plays. Amari Cooper was taken away from CeeDee Lamb. I mean, Dalton Schultz is not as good as Ferguson, and Tony Pollard's the number one back, on and on and on. And then that happens. I'm sorry. I am done. I'm done until they can prove it. And next year, they can go 17-0, 15-2. It doesn't matter. Their first playoff game, they can be favored by 100 points. And I'm still going to pick them to lose because that's who they are. That's who the Leafs are, and that's who the Cowboys are. And you know who is at fault for most of this, I think, is the man upstairs, Jerry Jones. He gets in the way. What other owner, after every football game, has a press conference to talk about the football team? I have the answer. Zero. None. Not even Dan Schneider didn't do it in Washington. Bob Kraft doesn't do it in New England. Kroenke with the Rams. They don't do it. He's the biggest. He's an egomaniac. He thinks everything the Cowboys have done was because of him. I mean, he chased Jimmy Johnson out in the 90s, and they haven't been the same since. They won two Super Bowls in a row, and you fire head coach because you can't get along with him. Kraft. Reports are coming in now. He hated Belichick, but he couldn't fire him because they were winning. So you put up with it. That guy would rather have things done his way than win football games. And we're seeing it. People tell me, oh, like he's going to go and get Belichick. He's going to go get Harbaugh. Do you think they want to work for that maniac? Because that's what he is. What owner's the GM? He's the GM, president. He's everything. He does everything but coach and play. But he basically coaches the damn team. He does everything but lace them up. And he's ruined this franchise. I'm sorry. They go 12-5 every year and lose. And they have talent all over the place. But they just find a way to lose. And he couldn't believe it yesterday. I wish I could play the soundbite of him just being in awe. But I'm sorry. That is pathetic. And he will now either stick with Mike McCarthy because he's a yes man. I like Mike McCarthy, but he's a yes man to Jerry Jones. Or he'll hire another coach not named Belichick or Jim Harbaugh. Not because he won't be like, oh, come work for me. They'll be like, I'm not working for you. You're crazy. Things have to be done your way. You're not the football brain. You never play in the NFL. You never coach in the NFL. You never did anything in the NFL. You just had a boatload of money and bought the team and think you know everything. When were the Cowboys most successful? When Jimmy Johnson was running the thing. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. He gets in the way, and it's everyone else's fault. The players didn't try hard enough. No, stop it. You built the team. Get characters in there who care. They don't care. And if they do, they have a funny way of showing it. Dak didn't even look phased in the press conference. Like, oh, it's my responsibility. And yeah, I know. Okay, fair enough. Fall on the sword, but like, he didn't even seem upset. What a joke. Joke of a franchise. To be fair, he's a good businessman. They're the most financially successful sports team of all time. And they have, in the last 30 years, they've won the same as me and everyone in this building. Nothing. I have as many Super Bowls as the Cowboys do in the last 30 years. I have as many NFC Championship appearances. And that's, I know who's at fault for this. I know who's the only person who's been in the organization that whole time. Jerry Jones. He chased Parcells out. Parcells couldn't deal with him. Wade Phillips. I had to hear it was Jason Garrett's fault. Now it's Mike McCarthy's fault. It's everyone's fault, but no one points the finger at Jerry Jones. What a joke. The Cowboys are, they're going to need to clean house almost. But you think about it. This was their best chance. Because now you got Dak's going to want a new contract after this year. CeeDee Lamb was one of the top five receivers in the league. He's going to want a new contract. Micah Parsons going to want a new contract. You're already paying Diggs. I mean, you can't pay everyone. This is alarming. It is. And I just have to say that the Dallas Cowboys, I don't want to call them, it's even, I don't even think you can call them frauds. They're just losers. They're just, it's unbelievable. Okay, you go down swinging. They didn't even know what to do yesterday. And we saw, and there were hints throughout the season. Teams that could run the ball well destroyed them. Look what the 49ers did. What was that, week five? Look what the Buffalo Bills did like a month ago. I think Allen only had 7 completions. They beat him by 35. Jordan Love played great. He looks like a franchise quarterback. Looks incredible. But if you're telling me that the Cowboys just, you know, lost to the better team, they did. But they weren't beating anyone yesterday with that effort. They weren't. There were signs the whole year. And they were talking so much after that Eagles game at home. They beat up on the Eagles who were just limping down the stretch. They're like, this is our division. This is this. Nah, nah, nah. And then it's okay if you can talk smack, but you have to back it up. What have the Cowboys done to talk all this, you know what? Like, seriously, what a joke. And I'm loving this. I'm loving this. It's, oh my God. I cannot believe it happened like that. I can, but I can't. I totally believe they lost. But like I said earlier, I guarantee the next two rounds they're going to lose. Because that's who they are. But losing like that, my God. If the Packers kept their starters in, I want to know how many points they would have scored. I'm just curious. Micah Parsons saying this is the best defense in the league. Baloney. Are you crazy? No one can play with us when we're playing well. No one can keep up with us. Even after the 49ers destroyed them, they were talking smack. I'm not hearing anything today, and I better not hear anything from the Cowboys for a long time. It's over. As much as I hate the Chiefs, they can talk. They've won it. You know, like, no. No, you can't talk. It's done. Everything was set up perfectly. The Eagles limped down the stretch. They lost to the Giants the last week to give you the division. They gave you the 2 seed on a silver platter. And all you got to do is win two home playoff games to get to the NFC Championship. And they couldn't do it. They didn't even come close. And I'm expecting to hear Mike McCarthy getting fired. I expect that to happen in the next few days. And that's not going to be enough. Still, you cannot bring back the same group of guys over and over and over and over again expecting a different result. Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? No, that ain't happening. You got to shake things up. They brought in the Lance kid. They traded for Trey Lance. See if he can play. Groom him. Not saying it's a start next year, but let him get ready. It's like, hey, you might be our guy in a few years, you know, start learning the offense. Or maybe trade a Trayvon Diggs and get picks. I don't know. But clearly something isn't working. And I bet Jerry Jones walking this game was as confident as he's ever been to get to a Super Bowl, or at least the NFC Championship game. Imagine him yesterday walking to the stadium. This is great. We're going to beat the Packers. Then we're going to beat whoever at home because we haven't lost at home all year. And we just got to win two home games. And we go to the NFC Championship game. He probably thought it was a lock. They don't learn. And next year, you know what's going to happen. Week one, they're going to beat up on a division opponent. Probably in prime time, and they're going to flex. Be like, this is who we are. No. And you know what? It doesn't matter. But I actually maybe prefer this. You know what? We should confront them week one saying, hey, do you not remember the postseason? No, let them enjoy. Let them get their expectations higher. Let them. Just for... to make the pain even worse. That's what I think it's for. Literally. Next year, I guarantee it, they're going to make the playoffs. Probably a top 2 to 3 seed. Build them up. Build up the fan base. Build up Jerry Jones. Let them buy their own hype. And then when the playoffs come around, that's what... we've done, actually. See what I'm doing there? That's what we've done for the last 3 years. We haven't said anything to them in the playoffs. All we've said is just wait during the regular season. Just wait and see what happens. And every year, they get excited and enjoy the possibility of doing something. And then excitement grows and Dak looks good and CeeDee Lamb's the best receiver. And then you play a kid starting his first playoff game, and he looks like Aaron Rodgers. Unbelievable. A quick ad break, and we'll get back to the NFL playoffs on the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
You a student interested in giving yoga a try? For just $60, new students can discover the joys of movement and harmony with unlimited access to classes at Moda Yoga Montreal. Located in the heart of the plateau, the Moda Yoga Studio offers a variety of hot yoga classes with something to match every ability level. They're good to find your flow or just recharge. Karma classes excluded, and the offer renews automatically after 1 month at $139 per month. Can be canceled at any time without penalty up to 1 week before the renewal. Moda Yoga Montreal is located at 3863 Saint Laurent Boulevard, and for more information, you can go to modayoga.com.
Push that button. How about this one? Say something quick. The security guard coming.
What?
Say something quick.
Say what?
The Caribbean Callaloo, the 2-time award-winning show on CJLO. 1690 on your AM dial every Saturday from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 514-848-7471.
Who's that girl, boy?
You can't talk, but you can see her.
So I just got a report, Caleb Williams declaring for the NFL draft. So I saw a report on that. They said he would only declare if the Bears trade the pick or the Bears wouldn't draft him. I don't know if that was true, but I saw like a decent insider report that. So yeah, Caleb Williams declaring for the draft. No one believed that he was going back to college, saying, oh, I might go back to USC. No one was buying that. So he's going to go one. Man, I hope the Patriots go up and get him. Last thing on the Cowboys front. All I have to say to wrap up my discussion of the Cowboys is not even a crazy suggestion. And it's never going to happen. Whatever the Jones sons are called, to go up to Jerry and just say, it's time. It's never going to happen. That's why I love bringing up the suggestion, because it's never going to happen, ever, in a million years. Oh my God, we hinted at this point. But I don't even know what that press conference was after the game. And when I saw when it was posted, I immediately went to it. Immediately. Like, the Rams game was on, and I saw Jerry Jones, like, press conference or whatever, media availability, and I immediately clicked on it. I had to see what he had to say. And you know what? It's exactly what you would expect. Devastating. Did not see this happening. Man, look at this. Jerry Jones says, lost to Packers seems like most painful one. I don't know how, I know each one gets more and more painful, but you think they're just numb to the pain at this point. And he's not, what gets me mad, for Cowboys fans, it's sad, because I have a bunch of friends who are Cowboys fans, and I felt a bit bad for them after laughing and just enjoying in the downfall of the Cowboys. I do feel for some of them. I do. They're great people. They just get too excited at the smallest bit of hope. Remember Cooper Rush was the answer? But here's my main argument with the Cowboys. You cannot bring back the same roster. You can't do it. You have to do something. Whether it be new coach, but that's, again, hitting on my Jerry Jones thing. He's not going to go and get a coach that makes a difference. He won't. He's going to get his Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy type, the yes-man coach, who's going to do whatever Jerry says, and it won't make a difference. He needs, funny enough, like a Jimmy Johnson type, a Belichick, a Jim Harbaugh. I know Nick Saban's retired, but like a guy like that who will make sure his team will never come out flat. Literally, that's what it comes down to. Sure, Jim Harbaugh teams never, never, never were the best on paper. And it took him a while to get over the hump in college, even the NFL. But what were they? They were always ready to play. Whether it was the Niners every Sunday, whether it was Michigan every Saturday, they came ready to play, and they gave it their all. I'm sorry if whatever, and I try to defend Mike McCarthy because 12 win seasons, you know, they act like they're easy. They're not easy to come by, or else everyone would have 12 win seasons. That's what, 4 in a row now for the Cowboys. To come out that flat and that terrible for a home playoff game is inexcusable. And if it was Jim Harbaugh or Bill Belichick, it wouldn't have happened. Now, like back what we were saying earlier, he won't hire one of them because they're going to challenge the way he does things. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Whoever, if it's Harbaugh or Belichick, they're going to go in there and say, hey, Jerry, I will take this Cowboys job on the condition that you do not get involved with my operations. Like you got to do what an owner thing does. You can throw the, you know, you can induct as many players as you want into the Ring of Honor. You can hold as many halftime celebrations as you want. You can talk on the radio all you want. Just don't get involved with me coaching the team or me get involved with me. Just don't. Stay clear. And he's going to say no. You won't. Or he'll say yes, and then he'll go back to his old ways. Like Parcells had to leave this guy. He's like, this guy's a wingnut. Because he wants all the control. And like I said earlier, he would rather make the playoffs and make a boatload of money every year than to give up control of his football team. I'm sorry. That is a fact. That is an app. You cannot deny it. Because how many times are they going to go to the playoffs and lose before the championship game before he realizes this? He's got a ton of money. He's somewhat of a bright guy. But he just loves his Cowboys. And he can't give it up. Stop with that. If you love your Cowboys so much and you want to win a Super Bowl, clearly what you've been doing hasn't been working. Clearly. And if you look at Jim Harbaugh and you look at Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel, guys like that, they're going to say, yeah, I'll take the Cowboys job if you don't get involved. And he, of course, is going to say no. Of course. Or if he says yes, it ain't going to last long. If I'm like that, like Belichick or Harbaugh with the Cowboys is a that's a disaster waiting to happen. Like, Kraft is not, he's involved, but he's not the GM. He's not there every day looking, hey, Bill, what's going on? No, he's more involved than most owners, but he is nothing compared to Jerry Jones. And if Belichick thought, you know what, Robert Kraft's a lot to deal with, oh, buddy, if you take the Cowboys job, you're in for a rude awakening. That's why I just can't picture him taking it. And if he does take it, he's going to just want no part of the Cowboys after like a month or 2 months. It's a great day. I've been in a great mood because of what happened. I knew they'd lose, but to lose like that, oh my God. There's losing, and then there was that yesterday. Crazy. Shout out to the Lions. I mean, I thought the Rams would win that football game. I mean, albeit they won by the thinnest of margins, it could have won either way. But that's huge for seed Detroit. Jared Goff, what a performance. I don't know who they'd rather play. I know that sounds stupid, but the Packers beat them on Thanksgiving. They play them twice a year. Where the 49ers, okay, they're more talented and you'd have to go to San Francisco, but they don't know you as well. The Packers know who the Lions are. They play them all the time. This is where division round games get important. Remember Tampa a few years back? Lost to the Saints twice. Played them a third time. Got them. It happens. You know, those division games. I remember, 1 year with the Jets? Beat the Patriots. Have the Patriots beat them twice in the regular season. You don't want to play a division team in the playoffs. You don't. Third time's a charm is what they say. They know, and they play you twice a year minimum every damn year. If there's a team that knows the Lions well, it's the Green Bay Packers. So it's be interesting to see who they want to play. And then for the games today, I mean, it's you'd like to think Buffalo beats Pittsburgh, and that Eagles-Bucks game, I have no idea. So that was fun. We're back next Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CJLO 1690, where we will discuss the divisional round of the postseason and everything else going on in the world of sports. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back next Monday. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Got me go out tonight. I just want to rock.